This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Only in America, folks, a study in contrasts. Obama's elegiac goodbye last night and Donald Trump's reminder at a news conference in New York today that he has no problem just winging it. It was President-elect Donald Trump's first news conference since winning the election in November.
Thank you very much. It's very familiar territory, news conferences, because we used to give them on a almost daily basis. I think we probably maybe won the nomination because of news conferences.
President-elect took questions and addressed a series of topics in no particular order, from job creation.
I will be the greatest jobs producer that God ever created, and I mean that. I'm going to work very hard on that.
He talked about the inauguration coming up.
The 20th is going to be something that will be very, very special, very beautiful.
Veterans came up. The whole problem with veterans, he said, is going to be fixed with help from the top hospitals in the country. No details. Then he turned the microphone over to attorney Sherry A. Dillon, who laid out how Trump would separate himself from his business interests while he's in the White House. But the topic Trump couldn't get away from was his relationship with Russia.
If Putin likes Donald Trump, guess what, folks? That's called an asset, not a liability. Now, I don't know that I'm going to get along with Vladimir Putin. I hope I do, but there's a good chance I won't. And if I don't, do you honestly believe that Hillary would be tougher on Putin than me? Does anybody in this room really believe that? Give me a break.
Someone should tell Donald Trump that Hillary Clinton actually lost the election. The press conferences, though, come today after a blistering report that was released yesterday by CNN and then later with more unverified information from BuzzFeed. And that dominated the conversation today. In the report, CNN learned that the chiefs of America's intelligence agencies briefed President Obama, President-elect Trump, and members of Congress last week about unsubstantiated reports that Russia has collected compromising information of a personal nature and other allegations as well about the future president. Sean Spicer, a spokesman for the president-elect, addressed that story at the news conference today head-on before Trump even took to the podium.
It's frankly outrageous and highly irresponsible for a left-wing blog that was openly hostile to the president-elect's campaign to drop highly salacious and flat-out false information on the internet just days before he takes the oath of office.
No news organization has been able to verify the details of the report, and the story may not survive the news cycle. But Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, joins us. Hi, Todd. Where does this stand right now?
Well, something important happened at the top of the news conference on the CNN and BuzzFeed reports that you were just referring to. Trump spokesman Sean Spicer did a similar thing to what Donald Trump did, and I think it's really important. I want to point it out. Donald Trump referred to one news organization, presumably BuzzFeed, and one television channel, presumably CNN, that had run this information about him that he called phony stuff. It didn't happen. He called it disgraceful. He's conflating those two things, and they're a world apart journalistically and in terms of what was reported. BuzzFeed blasted on the internet the entire 35-page dossier from a former British intelligence official, according to reports, that's been passed around Washington, detailing what is believed in those reports to be information that the Russians have on Donald Trump of a personal nature that would be compromising. We're not talking about those details because they are unsubstantiated. CNN didn't report any of that. CNN reported that intelligence officials briefed Donald Trump, briefed the president, and briefed eight members of Congress cleared to get highly classified intelligence information, that this potentially compromising information, that the Russians claimed it was in their hands. Those are two very separate things. Donald Trump and Sean Spicer conflated both of those things. One, that the information is true or is out there, BuzzFeed, don't know, unsubstantiated, or CNN, that Donald Trump was briefed on it. Donald Trump was asked if he was briefed on that information, and he said he wouldn't talk about those briefings.
But we had many witnesses in that meeting, many of them with us. And I will say again, I think it's a disgrace that information would be let out.
What else happened at the news conference?
There was a great deal of back and forth, at least some, on the allegations from Russia. And I want to point out one other thing that's important that people might not be aware of. Other reports in The Guardian reported this morning a couple of things. One is that the dossier in question, again unsubstantiated, was passed by Senator John McCain to the FBI back in December. John McCain has confirmed that he passed the dossier in question to the FBI. FBI Director James Comey has been asked about it, said that he won't discuss any FBI ongoing investigations about whether there was regular contact between the Trump campaign and representatives of the Kremlin throughout the presidential election, but also a report in The Guardian that the FBI applied to the FISA court, John, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court that I know you're very familiar with, to get warrants on four Trump staffers back in the summer because of suspicion that they may be having improper or irregular contact with Russian agents or Russian actors during the campaign. According to The Guardian, that initial request for warrants was denied. It was then narrowed, and then a warrant was granted. But we don't know what the FBI did with that warrant, who they listened to, or what they did with the information. James Comey, again, not answering questions about what he said might be an ongoing investigation.
All right. The discussion and Trump volunteered information about his enthusiasm for solving the problem with veterans in the United States. He also talked about how he's going to be the best job creator in the universe. I mentioned that at the top. But there were no details, really, about his economic program. What was he really forthcoming about? ACA, the Affordable Care Act.
A little bit on the ACA, saying that repeal and replace on Obamacare, as he says, are going to happen simultaneously. Members of Congress wanted to have a plan where they repeal Obamacare right away and then have a delay so that 20 million or so people who have benefits either through Medicaid or the exchanges now don't lose them abruptly. They said, well, we'll phase out the benefits over 2 years or 3 years or 4 years. Mitch McConnell now, it appears, does not have the votes for a plan like that. So Donald Trump seems to be catching the wind in Congress here that repeal and replace have to happen together. That's where the votes seem to be. But not a lot of detail beyond that. He's going to have a fabulous plan. He's going to have the best health care. Did not answer the key question, how many people would be covered? Would each of the 20 million people who have coverage now still have coverage in a new plan? He didn't answer that. John, he was pretty forthcoming. His lawyer was pretty forthcoming on the issue of conflicts of interest and ethics.
President-elect Trump's investments in business assets, commonly known as the Trump Organization, comprising hundreds of entities, which again, if you all go and take a look at his financial disclosure statement, the pages and pages and pages of entities have all been or will be conveyed to a trust prior to January 20th.
Let's talk about the visuals. I mean, here he is surrounded by flags. There's this table stacked with dossiers and folders. And then there's this lawyer who's brought in to explain how Donald Trump is going to actually separate himself from his businesses. She talks for a while, and then he actually addresses the question of what's going to happen to his businesses.
I have a no conflict of interest provision as president. It was many, many years old. This is for presidents because they don't want presidents getting I understand. They don't want presidents getting tangled up in minutia. They want a president to run the country. So I could actually run my business. I could actually run my business and run government at the same time. I don't like the way that looks, but I would be able to do that if I wanted to. I'd be the only one that would be able to do that. You can't do that in any other capacity. But as a president, I could run the Trump Organization, great, great company, and I could run the company, the country. I'd do a very good job, but I don't want to do that.
Now, is that supposed to be reassuring?
Donald Trump says he could do it. He is correct that there's really no law that prevents him from running the Trump Organization and being president. But what's legal is not ethical necessarily. And the issue here is the ethical imperative of a conflict of interest, whether Donald Trump has two sets of interests, his personal financial interest and his interest in representing the country as president. Two different things. So a couple of things. One, spinning off full control, Donald Trump says, of the Trump Organization, full management to sons Eric and Don Jr. Won't discuss under the rules of this arrangement any business dealings with his sons whatsoever. They won't discuss it with him. Any business dealings at the Trump Organization makes domestically will have to have sign-off from a special ethics counselor who will be appointed to the board of the Trump Organization, and Donald Trump's not allowed to know about any of it. All of Donald Trump's Trump Organization holdings will be conveyed to a trust, which he will have no control over, and all management will go to his kids and to another Trump Organization executive called Alan Weisberg. Now, the foreign parts of Donald Trump's holdings are quite another issue. There are restrictions in the Constitution about any president taking foreign payments from any foreign government, king, or prince. Sherry Dillon, Donald Trump's lawyer, went and made a legal argument. She said that profits from a hotel or a business don't qualify under the Emoluments Clause ban on foreign payments. That's never been tested in court. So this is her legal argument, saying if Donald Trump got profits from, you know, somebody paying their hotel bill, even if it was an overseas foreign interest, that would be fine under the law. Donald Trump, however, can't unknow which hotels, which interests, and which branding deals he has around the world. That's impossible. He can't unknow where his interests are. Sherry Dillon said that no new foreign deals will be made at all. The Trump Organization will not be making any new foreign deals. Existing deals remain in place, of course, which, as I said, Donald Trump can't unknow. And went one step further, Sherry Dillon said, just as an added precaution, even though he doesn't have to do it, Donald Trump will donate any profits from his foreign interests to the U.S. Treasury.
And so is this enforceable? I mean, Todd, can you really enforce no conversations about the Trump Organization with his sons? That just seems utterly unworkable.
Stipulating that I'm not a lawyer, as you and all takeaway listeners know, what I do know is that this is a voluntary agreement that has been reached between Donald Trump, his sons, his children, Ivanka, and the lawyers. Completely voluntary. There are no cops for this kind of thing, relying on self-enforcement and on a strong sense of propriety and ethics, John.
The contrasts of last night and today, just a word about that.
I don't think any fair observer could have watched those two appearances and seen a sharper contrast between tone, style, imperative, and intention between President Obama and Donald Trump. Donald Trump now has the opportunity to write his own chapter for his presidency, starting off with this news conference today. He takes the oath of office in just a little over a week, John.
Todd Zwillig, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks so much, Todd.
You got it, John.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.